May 19th, 2012. This is episode 51. This is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I am Kim.
And I'm Stephanie.
And this week we'll be talking about, what game? Okay, Diablo 3.
Did a game release this week? I didn't
12
see
years
the first
of
page.
Anticipation is oozing from the internets. We're also going to be talking about Terra Online, Walking Dead, Yesterday, and The Dream Machine. Hello. So, hello, ladies. Kim, hello. Steph, how are you guys?
Hello. I'm good. I'm probably going to cough all over the fans okay. today, but I'll try. I'll try not to.
Sniffle, sniffle. Is it your allergies?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why, because it's fall here. It's not spring, you know? So
well, you are living in a different country, so
yeah. True.
Ants and all kinds of stuff. You
Very
never know.
Very true. Very true.
So we also have a winner from episode 50 for yes. the favorite elite moment or ladies elite moment. So should we wait? Should we wait to tell them? Or should we just do it?
Let's tell them. Let's tell them.
Okay, let's go ahead.
But it was so hard. We had to go random because it was so hard to find a one that was that we had to say, this is the winner, because they were all such great comments. And reading through them,
a lot of them, huh?
it brought back so many good memories. I'm like, I remember that.
I love. There was one that said, "I love the time that you spent a little bit of time on." Skyrim. Like, four episodes.
Just a little bit.
A lot of those moments. You know, Red Dead, Fallout. I mean, we have a number of, unlike the other podcasts out there, we'd like to extend our talk.
Yeah, right.
This one guy was remembering when we were talking about killing your neighbors in Sims, and he remembers being trapped in computer class with only the Sims and Oregon Trail to keep him company, and you can only die of dysentery so many times.
So, all right, let's go ahead and announce our random winner. It is Trumbit.
Yay!
So Trumbit says, not a specific moment, but I loved all the Fallout talk. Uh-huh. This happened a lot. Obviously, I hated Fallout 3, and I just couldn't get into it. After listening to a few episodes of praise for this game, I reinstalled 3 and completed it in a few weeks, and then immediately bought New Vegas and completed that.
Yes.
Such a great couple of games. That's awesome.
That's very awesome.
Definitely awesome.
I mean, if it's one thing that I've learned is sometimes it's perspective, like where you are at that moment, you know, maybe you're burnt out on a certain type of game. So if a good game of that same caliber comes out around the same time, you may skip it or you may try it and go, but give it a little bit of time. It's even better because then it's on sale, right? Later you can get it
exactly.
cheaper.
Well, and I was the same way. When we decided to play Fallout 3, it was in anticipation of New Vegas coming out. And we're like, oh, let's play it, because none of us had played it. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't get into it. I was like, I didn't like it. And then you know, I know Nicole was raving about it. And,
God, I couldn't get enough of it.
Then I was like,
very apathetic.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll try Fallout Vegas. And I got into it. It was great. It was awesome. But I had changed platforms. I'd played Fallout 3 on my PC, and I'd played Fallout Vegas on my PlayStation. And I think that, for me, was there. And I was like, I got it. And then I went back and played Fallout 3, and then I played Fallout 2 again. Fallout again. So I think it is the timing of it.
Yeah, and something as simple as a platform change for a game. I mean, it's just about every game that comes out. You can play it on a PC, you can play it on a PS3, Xbox, or in, you know, runner up Wii's lowest common denominator there. But I just saw Steam is having a huge bundle sale on all of the Assassin's Creed this weekend.
That's right.
So I'm going, okay, I played Assassin's Creed on the PlayStation. I wonder if I would like it on the PC. But to get, you know, what I think there's like 6 games for $44. I'm like,
wow.
Ooh, that's
wow.
Like, I'm going to try that. And just to see how that game plays on a PC, I'm really curious. So,
yeah.
Oasis789 said, best ladies elite moment was when the ladies talked about stuff. Oh, no, that's wrong one. Tef. I was thinking of Tef, the next one. My favorite moment was when Nicole went into labor. Sounds like I went into labor on your show.
That's funny.
Oh my god, remember when we had the earthquake on during the show?
Yeah, that's
right. Yes, that was so funny because I'm sitting there and you're like, whoa, both of you guys.
And then I felt it.
And then you felt it, exactly. That was awesome.
Yeah, I never felt it.
5 hours away.
Never felt it. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm just really happy that we started the show, and I'm glad you listeners are still listening. Yes. It's been a great time. So,
Yes. Shall
we get into it and get talking about some games?
Oh,
I know.
And please send Trumpet to please contact us with the game.
Oh, we have his email. We'll just contact him. We have your email through the website.
Yep.
So
very cool.
So I will contact you, and you have won a game of your choice from Steam.
Yay!
You should get the Assassin's Creed.
So I gotta, email him immediately.
All right, so of course we're going to be talking about Diablo 3. Everyone on the internet is talking about Diablo 3. It's been 12 years since Diablo 2, so it finally came out on Tuesday, I think it was. So this is, of course, a dungeon crawler action role-playing game done by Blizzard. I'm curious, ladies, have either one of you played past Diablos?
Oh, yes, obviously. Yeah, I played the... I started
it's not obvious.
Two.
I've never played any Diablo before this.
Really? I'm surprised. I thought we had talked about that before.
Too.
Yeah, I actually... I played 1 and 2. You know, but I don't remember 1. It's been so long ago. I don't really remember 1. And I only remember 2 because I played it recently just to, get a taste in my mouth for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played... the crud out of 2. That was got me started on the whole Blizzard kick.
And I think that's kind of the people that really have a long-standing history with Blizzard. They go back to Diablo 2 and kind of have that nostalgia for this amazing, groundbreaking game. Mm-hmm. And that's where the love of 3, I think, is coming from a lot of those people.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead. How much have you guys been playing? So, you know, the game's broken up into acts. So act 1, I'm still on act 1. So
mm-hmm. I'm on act 2. But first, so did either of you play at midnight on the launch? Or, well, I guess it would be way...
I'm a baby. I'm lucky to get past 9 p.m.
Well, it was 6 o'clock in the evening here when it launched. Okay. So, you know, it was... prime time for me. I was so excited, and I get home from work, and the first thing I do is, you know, I install it, and it had to go pull some downloads. I'm like, that's cool. That's what it's supposed to do. An hour later, it's still waiting. You know, it's getting this download. It got it, and then it had to install, and it took another hour to install. So it's 8 o'clock by now, and yay, I got in, you know, it's all installed, I'm ready to jump in. Yeah, I didn't get a play until, I think, 11 o'clock that night. So basically what I did was, you know, get in and that's it.
A lot of people, I mean, the first launch day, there was a lot of problems, and I know a lot of people took off work.
Yes.
Mark and I almost took off work, but then I had something come up and I was like, I can't take off, so let's, you know, take off Wednesday instead. Mm-hmm. What came up on Tuesday was I had a massive migraine. That's right. And I was pretty much in bed until the following day. Forgot about that. Yeah, no. But I just logged in and grabbed a name. So Neola being my name. So I just went ahead and grabbed that. But for the most part, I really didn't start playing it until Thursday or Friday.
Right.
So,
well, which is...
I played a little bit Wednesday night, but I got kicked out a lot. Yeah. And it really didn't settle down until Thursday.
Yeah, it's a lot more stable now. I mean, now I haven't been getting kicked out, but those first couple of days, it was, you know, I would play for a couple of hours and probably get kicked out 15 times. Yep. I mean, it was bad.
And it was very bad.
People are acting like this is not standard. Like,
right.
This is what I expect with pretty much any massive game release when you have an online component. It's just, you know, you're working out. You got
That's the problem. That's the problem is the online component is there is a huge percentage of people that don't want the online component, this that don't want to play online. They just want to play single player. And in their minds, and I can't disagree with them, there's no legitimate reason why they need online authentication to play a game locally, you know.
Yeah.
The game is not hosted online. It's just all the other things attached to the account that force you to be online. You know, the Battle.net friends tags and the online auction house that's gonna kick off soon. I haven't even seen it yet. So it's that component that really upsets people. And here's the other thing is now that they've tied, you know, this game, Diablo 3, into their whole Battle.net, if something breaks in Diablo 3, you're going to take down every other game. That includes StarCraft and Warcraft. And that's exactly what happened. When they break Diablo 3 authentication, they've broken it for every other Blizzard game. And that's not cool.
So people couldn't log into WoW either?
Yes! And that's where that infamous thing with the Templar, giving your Templar companion a shield, broke Diablo 3 to the point where you couldn't play Warcraft or StarCraft until they fixed it.
Yeah, it was,
crazy!
I think that some of the bugs that came out of this most of them that I've kind of seen have become, or it's because of that online authentication stuff. And I agree. It's a single player game if you want it to be. And you do not have to play with other people. It's not an MMO. It's a single player game with co-op. And, right. I don't like the way that they've done this. I mean, now if I go traveling, I can't play Diablo 3. You know, because
I want the option that if, you know, do you want to play online? No, let me just play it locally and then upload all my data later.
Exactly.
You know, give me that option.
But do you think that they'll have an offline option? I don't think
I don't think so. No, I think this game, I think it's intertwined so much in that online authentication that I don't think they're going to do that. They couldn't do it.
So are you happy though with the gameplay?
Yeah, okay, so now that we've got past that part and we've got past the errors and everything, I'm enjoying the game a lot. It's so much fun. I love dungeon crawlers for one thing, you know, going in and just whacking stuff. I love the effects. I love all the different types of attacks that they have. They're a lot. They're so cool, and it's so satisfying when you can do some of these attacks.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the two characters that I've started with the wizard, and I've just rolled a demon hunter too.
I love the demon hunter. That's my favorite so far.
The wizard, I love her attacks, because I use the essentially a frost nova, and then she has a knockback.
Yeah.
So I use that a ton to control multiple enemies.
I decided to roll a monk.
Very nice.
She's pretty badass. Scott and I were talking about this on Final Score, and I just, it's a satisfying game in the sense that I just feel like I can just obliterate everything in my path. Like,
right.
Just,
this is a normal mode, crazy. Though, right?
Yeah, I haven't played hard mode yet.
Harder levels, I am so terrified of dying, because when you die, it's it. You're done. Yeah.
The levels, because you have to, don't you have to get through normal mode before you unlock, like, nightmare level and
I saw a video of, and this was barely a day and a half after launch, of three characters that were maxed out doing it on Inferno level, doing the last boss. That means they went through nightmare. They went through normal and regular difficulty, and they did this, all three of them together, and then they finally took on that last boss. But that's, you know, that's hardcore right there.
Wow, that is hardcore. I mean, what I did was I went through and created a character for every class. So I think there's six classes.
Oh, nice.
And I tried all of them.
Five. There should be five.
Five? Okay. I wasn't.
Well, yeah. Witch doctor, barbarian, wizard, monk, and demon hunter.
Okay. Ah,
there you go.
I just wanted to try them all because, you know, they're all have these unique attacks and everything. So I was like, I want to do this. And the witch doctor is a ton of fun. It's she so is creepy. Just she is very creepy.
The witch doctor was in love with you.
But she has spider pets, and I'm like, ooh, there's spider pets. But I didn't mind them so much because I think it's just it's hell and you're gruesome and gooey and blah, and it's the so witch gross.
The doctor makes the funniest noises, and I swear it sounds like he's vomiting those frogs. Like, and then these frogs appear, and I'm like, okay.
So I found my side. I found this game wasn't too different than Diablo 2. I mean, it's really just Diablo 2, but it's got some improvements in it. The graphics look better.
Right. Cutscenes are pretty awesome. That first cutscene is
quite frankly
so good.
Yeah, that first one is very good.
Oh yeah, the cinematic in it was amazing. I just sat there and I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's something that Blizzard has always excelled at. Yeah. Cinematics. They'll just draw you right in.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Ooh, show me more.
But basically it's Diablo 2, you know, reskinned, and it's got some improvements. Like, thank God you don't have to have a town portal scroll or an identification scroll. So if you didn't play Diablo 2, and you played Diablo 3, instead of having a town portal button, you had a town portal scroll. And so you had to always carry 5 to 10 of these scrolls with you. So
that like Terra. I have to do that in Terra.
Oh.
And that's why you were rummaging through bookcases, because you were looking for the scrolls.
Yes.
I remember that so clearly.
And they had identification scrolls. So those rare items you get and you just have to right-click on them in here, you used to have to apply a scroll to it. And so the first time I got a rare, I'm like, where's my scroll? How do identify this? And I was like, I don't have to. Yes. So huge improvement. Just that little thing.
You just right click on it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And just that little thing.
Identify it. I didn't know how to, I didn't even read. I just left all these. I'm like, how do I identify?
Right?
Maybe I should read the instructions as I hover over it and just right click on it.
Well, that's how I found out that if you push shift and your left key, you don't move. Because I was like moving all over, and I'm like, this sucks. Especially and then I read the hover over. Yes.
Yeah, if you're playing a character that has a ranged attack, if you click on the enemy, it's going to try and move closer, and you don't necessarily want to do that.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, as a monk, I do want to do that. Yeah. So I'm like, click, click, click.
But do you guys find that you're not just clicking away on any random thing, that you've got like a rhythm to it? Because normally in dungeon crawlers, I'm just mashing buttons, boo, doo, 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 and it's, you know.
No, I definitely have a.
Yeah. Yeah. With this game, the mechanics or the spells are so cool and so distinct, at least the ones that I've been playing with in my head, that it's easy. To pick the ones that you like and then go with those, you know. And so I've got a rhythm, especially with my demon hunter, because she's my furthest along. I think she's level 25 or something now.
Yeah. So I'm only 11, so I really only have a handful of spells that I'm kind of going through.
Here's a tip for you on that is you want to turn on what's called elective mode, particularly when you're leveling. It's under the options and then the gameplay, and then you just check it. And what that lets you do is you get more control over the spells that your character will apply as they level. You know, you get to choose, okay, I want this one to be my active, I want this to be my number one, and blah, 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 blah. So you get more control over your spells by turning on elective. So that's what I did. But one of the things that I'm discovering is
the crafting element is mm-hmm. different. So when you're first playing, you go to the blacksmith and you don't pay to learn it initially, but you don't, unlike other games, you don't level up by crafting items. You level up by paying the trainer. So sitting there and making 15 of something is not going to make you level up. It's only going to give you 15 items and yeah. then, you know, whatever. But the other thing that's different is that skill applies across all your characters. Each one does not start from baseline zero learning the skill. When you learn up to, you know, tier three on one character and you switch over to another character, that character has access to the same level of items. So you can sit and craft all those things too. So it does pay, you know, when you're looking at, and it says, when you're next level, you'll learn a cool bow. And you're sitting there going, well, I don't use a bow. Well, maybe your other character will. So how it works. It's training just across all the characters, so they'll all have access to it. So it's
awesome. That is really nice.
Yeah, in the beginning, I would recommend not wasting your materials crafting items just to give yourself good gear, because you're going to get that just from doing quests and killing bosses. Save your materials and just pay the money to level up the trainer. So that when you do get to, say, level 20, that's when the good stuff starts coming in. And you'll have the materials saved up from DEing the blues to actually make good stuff, especially socketed stuff.
Yeah, the socketed stuff is nice. And so if you find a gem, never sell your gems. You know,
never sell your gems.
Keep those because you'll need them.
Here's the best tip that I learned. When you're okay, so your DEing thing, it's called salvage in this game. you open up your bags and then go and then you're at the blacksmith salvage. Here's the tip. Just click on the anvil icon and then move your mouse to your bags and click on each item that you want to DE. Don't drag it to the anvil to DE.
I've been dragging it.
I was like, oh, this is a pain in the butt. Every item to the anvil. Yeah, no, just take the anvil to the item in your bag.
This game for me, since I'm new to it, is growing on me. I mean, I can't say I'm going to be playing this. Who knows? Maybe I will, but I just don't see myself playing this, you know, a long period of time. You know, because I came from WoW to Diablo.
Diablo.
I don't know, but then I just jumped into a party with Mike Schramm, and we were cruising through a dungeon. I'm like, oh, this is actually kind of cool playing with other people.
Yeah.
Because I really have only been playing solo. Right. So, I don't know.
So, you know, as much as we can...
Still letting it marinate.
As much as we complain about the online stuff, that's my favorite part of... I don't like playing alone. I'd much rather play with other people. Your environment gets harder as the more people that mm-hmm. you add. And then, of course, they leave. Everybody gets, all the mobs get a little easier. Yeah. So, you know,
it's like Borderlands.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you each have your own loot table. So.
Yes.
Which is so nice. Nobody's fighting over gear, but you can share it too. Nothing's bind on equip. You know, it's all shareable. And so, you know, we go and we kill a boss and there's four of us and we all are, hey, I've got this. Does anybody need this? And, you know, we just drop it or trade it. And, it makes it so much more fun and easier because especially if you're different classes, because like you said, the mage has the freeze thing and, like the witch doctor has all the spiders and it's got the little beast guys and, you know, so it brings a lot of different things to it. And there's really only, kind of a tank and DPS, you know, well, sort of tank. It's not, you know, really a tank, but you know, it can take more.
That rapid fire from the Demon Hunter is so much fun to listen to. I'm like, what the heck is that?
I love
a machine gun.
You know what's going to be interesting? Like, I mean, we have all these different types of characters. When they finally roll out PvP, which was delayed, that's when it's going to get a little interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be really interesting because, like I said, you know, you're going through these dungeons and you're just like, bah, bah, bah. how is it going to be? Like, people are going to feel invincible, and then they're going to go into PvP, and they're going to go, oh, I'm not so awesome anymore.
Yeah.
Ooh, that guy.
I don't feel invincible. I run into a mob, and, you know, I'm like, oh, crap, I died again. But
right?
Another huge, huge, huge plus from Diablo 2 to Diablo 3. In Diablo 2, you die, you drop everything you own. And it's in a pile. You have to run back to your body and pick up everything again. So if you're in a game with somebody you don't know, they can pick up all your stuff.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Oh, it's all gone. All gone. So thank God that's not in here anymore. I was like, when I died the first time, I'm like, oh no, my stuff. And I looked and I'm like, hey, I still have all my stuff. What's going on here? You know, so if you've got 30,000 gold, you drop your gold too. So if you have 30,000 gold,
that's
boop,
right.
It would just drop right there. And if you're in a dungeon that, you know, you started.
Your partner's trying to get you killed.
Yeah. Like,
oh,
yeah.
I got your back.
You did not want to play with someone you didn't know.
You're doing great.
Oh, that was crazy. So thank God they changed that. I was really scared the first time I died. I'm like, oh no, where's my stuff? Oh, I got my stuff on. Woohoo!
Have you had a chance to mess with the auction house yet?
No, I have not touched that yet.
I have. Yeah. I haven't bought anything or sold anything yet because the prices, you know, you don't really know how the prices are right now. So I look at stuff.
People are just testing things out probably.
Yeah, and it's way inflated. Like, they've got buyout things for, you know, 30,000 gold, and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna spend all my gold on this because I'm just gonna get something better pretty soon. Right. So I threw some rare stuff up there just to see if it would sell, and so I don't know, I haven't checked it this morning. But
from what I hear, I was talking with Joel Dugan, and he was saying that it, you know, stuff is selling, so
yeah,
it's worth the try. I mean, the real gold auction house hasn't actually been implemented yet. It's all just kind of in-game gold at this point.
So how is that going to actually work? I haven't really read much on it, but I was kind of wondering, how is it going to, do you have to attach a PayPal account, or is it going to go to your BattleNet account, or how is that going to work?
I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
I'm not even.
How do you get the real
here,
money out?
The real money. It says the real money auction house fees will be $1 US from equipment and 15% from crafting materials. So they're basically you have your gold base and then your real money based. And with the gold base, it's a flat fee of 15% will be taken from the final sale. And then from the real auction, it'll be a fee of $1 from weapons and then a 15% from the crafting
materials.
Right,
but how do you
I would
apply
there
that
has
money?
To be, there has to be a credit card or something. You have a credit card attached to your, more than likely, your BattleNet account. I'm sure it all feeds into that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking it would do, but I just didn't know.
Says there's an additional 15% cashing out fee from proceeds gained selling items in the real money auction house.
Naturally.
Well, and the reason
Korea, they had to take it out of the game for South Korea because it went against their gambling laws.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anti-gambling.
Well, what had happened. The only reason they did this is because there was in Diablo 2, there was the unofficial real money auction houses, you know, just out there on a site.
Oh, I remember those.
And they couldn't control them. So they decided, well, it's better to, you know, join them and, you know, make some money off it ourselves and control it, you know, give people a safe place to trade their money. So that's the reason they put it in the game.
You did ask about PayPal. I'm just looking at BattleNet, and it says note that the additional fees apply for players who choose to receive their proceeds of their successful, and that's the key, successful auction via PayPal. So
okay, so it is PayPal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Yep. Yeah, functionality section of this FAQ for further detail.
Well, I guess it's like like Sims or Second Life. I mean, all of those places have real money.
And it is the stores. Is the payment. So how you buy these items is through the payment method that's attached to your BattleNet account. So there you
go. Cool.
So I was thinking about the time frame from Diablo 2 to now, which has been obviously 12 years. Diablo 2 came out in 2000. Right. So I made a list of things that have been created or released since then. And I think you may appreciate this list. This is the list of things that have come out since Diablo 2. The entire Apple I line. iTunes, iPod, iPhone. How about this one? The PS2, the PS3, the Xbox 360. All have been created and released since Diablo 2. This one kind of blew my mind. How about the whole Halo series? The whole Call of Duty series? All of them have been created since Diablo 2 came out. Duke Nukem Forever came out for Diablo 3.
Can we just forget that about that one? Yeah, we can forget about that one.
I never thought that was going to come out. But sure enough, it did. And even from Blizzard's own, from their own line, when Diablo 2 came out, Warcraft was just Warcraft 3, which was nothing like the MMO. And they went from Warcraft 3 to the original, you know, vanilla, to Burning Crusade, to Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm, and now the pandas are coming out. And all that since Diablo 2.
And they got Diablo 3 out before the pandas.
Yeah, but barely.
So I think every BlizzCon they held, they were announcing something for Diablo 3.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what annoyed me. Because
I was like, dang.
I'm like, enough with this game. Just release the damn thing.
But you know what? What surprises me is it's been 7 years in the making, and it's kind of a reskin of Diablo 2. I'm like, really?
It doesn't even feel, I can't even call it a sequel. It's not a sequel. It's a continuation of the same thing. It doesn't, because it looks the same and it feels the same. So they, like you've said, they've made some changes, like, you know, the crafting and the auction houses and stuff like that. But at its core, it feels exactly the same, which is why I think, Nicole, you've got that same feeling is, and people have said this, that this feels like a game that's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. And I can see that when I'm playing it, particularly alone. It becomes a lot more fun when it's more people. But I feel that.
Is a kind of a situation, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, in the sense that Blizzard, had they deviated potentially from Diablo 2, since it was so beloved, you know, Diablo 3, if it would have come out, they were, you changed the game, you know, all this nerd rage about how much you changed this game. I mean, there's a reason why people love 2, and they, you know, a lot of people want to play it again. So,
well, but even look
it's
at
a dungeon crawler, it's going to stay a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But look at WoW, and look at vanilla WoW to the Outlands, to Burning Crusade, to Cataclysm. How much the game has actually changed in that time. It's still an MMO. It's still the World of Warcraft, but it evolved. I don't feel like Diablo has evolved at all.
Yeah.
I think
improved. When you keep it as a dungeon crawler, that's what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can it possibly evolve? Beyond what?
But that's the thing. I think if anybody could evolve it, it would have been Blizzard. You know, they've got some really inventive people. And I kind of feel like this was a side project that when they got time to work on it.
The really inventive people are not on this project.
That's what
they're on Titan.
They're not.
That's what it felt like to me. It really did. I mean,
the people that say, hey, why don't we do this? No, they're not on this project.
Yeah. I mean, and I hate to say that because I really am enjoying the game and it's Diablo.
I'm still enjoying the game.
Yeah, and I love it, but I just don't feel like
So So let's just say, is it a bot? Well, you can't really rent it.
If you can rent it.
It's a buyer's skin at this point.
Is it a wait?
I would say buy. I mean, it's...
Well, you can.
I'm going to play it, and, you know, that's... Maybe I'll hop in every once in a while. It's good for, I think, for a long-term kind of game, hop in for a multiplayer, you know, do a couple dungeons and, you know, do that. Nothing like I did in WoW, of course. They're two separate, completely different games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it is fun, and there is a little addictive kind of, okay, just one more level. Let's go down one more level. Let's see what's over in this corner.
Well,
kind of feeling.
And just the exploration, kicking bodies and things come out of them. And those damn chests, you pop a chest and they're all spring loaded. And I swear my hand is going to be laying on the ground one of these days because, you know, an axe flew out of it or something, you know.
This game is feeding into my OCD when it comes to exploration too, because if you tell me, okay, go across this bridge and go do blah blah blah, I don't do that. The very first thing I do is I start around the edges and discover the edge of the map and I discover all the stuff on the edge, and then I come back through the middle and then I go.
That's exactly what I do.
And you always find something. You're like, had I not gone this way, I would have never have seen that stump that I could hit and then get, you know, 2 gold from it.
Well, there's one level that you're in. It's like this big torture castle. I mean, the whole thing is nothing but torture devices everywhere.
Yes, blood everywhere.
It is so much fun to destroy everything in there. Everything. I mean, I cannot pass a burning log roll thing without destroying it and having the logs rolling everywhere.
I get the weirdest thrill seeing those little chandelier latches with the chain where you can hit it and it comes down and smashes the enemies. I love those.
See, I have a problem because as soon as I see them, I want to hit them and not actually use them what they're for, which is to drop them on enemies.
Right? Or those log traps. Yeah.
Or
I need to just wait.
Or you've already killed all the monsters and then you go do it.
Like, oh, dang it.
I do that way too many times.
It is a fun game. It's a dungeon crawler. If you have never played a dungeon crawler, you should give it a shot. I mean, especially if you're not necessarily a multiplayer or an online kind of play with other people, you can play the single player and you kind of dip your toes into playing with other people. Mm-hmm. So it's a good way to kind of have both worlds at your disposal with a game.
And you can play it for free, can't you? Isn't there a trial?
I have not seen a trial. Yet.
I haven't either.
I thought I saw something about a trial. Look that up, Nicole.
I'm doing it right.
But it's actually refreshing not to play a game that requires a monthly fee. I could keep this on my computer and just play it when I want and not have to worry about being billed every month? Wow, that's kind of cool.
So apparently there's no free trial per se, but if you know someone who bought it, you might ask them for a buddy pass. Did you get a buddy?
I think that was the collector's edition.
I got it through my subscription to WoW.
Me too.
Yeah, I think you have to find someone that physically bought the game.
And it might be in the collector's edition. Might be in the collector's edition.
That's true.
Yep.
I don't know. But I would say if you've never played Diablo before and you like dungeon crawlers, This is one of the best dungeon crawlers. This and Torchlight, two of the best.
Have you played the beta for Torchlight 2 yet?
No, I want to. They've got a Papillon pet in it. Oh my god. This is the only game in history, I think, that has got a Papillon in it. And if you guys don't know, my dog is a Papillon and he's like my world right now, so.
Wasn't that weird ghost trick game? Wasn't the dog in that a Papillon? It reminded me of a Papillon.
Ghost trick.
ghost trick where the guy was dead and he has to manipulate objects. It was an iOS game.
I don't remember that one.
But the dog that was yapping at you the whole time.
Aw, Joey doesn't yap at anybody.
No, Joey. All right, so let's move on from Diablo 3 talk. So, Kim, you finished Walking Dead 1?
I did.
Episode 1? Yeah. I did too, by the way. I know our last episode I was almost done, but I finished it. Did Stephanie, did you finish?
Your verdict? No, I have not yet. So what's your verdict?
Kim, you go ahead.
So, this is a very dark game. I am so glad this is in episodes because I don't think I could move on to the next episode after finishing this one. It's emotionally draining.
I can't wait till the next episode.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm glad I have a break in between the two because I think if I played all 5 episodes all in a row, oh my God, I would be a zombie myself because it was emotionally draining.
It pulls on your heartstrings and kind of ethics, you know.
It does, but you know, I didn't
ethics with zombies.
Well, the character you play, because it's not about zombies. I mean, The Walking Dead is not about zombies. It's about human relationship and human kind of, you know, what would you do if put in a certain situation when you have all these people that are looking to you to save them, and that's what it is at the heart of Walking Dead. Zombies are just you know, the catalyst to invoke these emotions and these decisions. So,
but you know, and it says that so much is based on your actions. The rest of the game, and although I didn't feel it yet that you know they were directly related, I know that you know I'm becoming friends with one person more than other people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I haven't, I think, seen the big impact of my decisions yet. So I think
let's talk. I mean, if you haven't played this game, we're just gonna. It's not necessarily spoilers because every game is different based on how you respond. So I'm just curious from your perspective, Kim. There's one of the earlier decisions you have to make. It's a life and death decision. Do you save the little boy? Or do you save the young, I guess he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Who did you pick?
I picked the little boy.
I picked the teenager.
Did you?
Ooh, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
So why did you pick the teenager?
Because the little boy ran over the teenager, and I figured the dad was nearby and would save the little boy, which he did. So it actually didn't damage my relationship with the father. And I still was able to keep my relationship with the father of the teenager.
And how did that work out for you, Kim?
No, he
get upset with you?
Yeah, he blew a gasket. He, you know, he hated, even though, you know, I was trying to save the son afterward. You know, it was, I couldn't save both of them immediately, but I was trying to get to the other one. So, yeah, he blew up at me and kicked us off the farm.
See, he didn't blow up. I mean, he blew up, but he was actually cool with me because I tried to save his son.
So see, so we leave and you're still friends with this other guy. So, you know, right there, that's what I'm talking about is I don't see how right so far that my decision there really impacted the rest of my gameplay. Other than
there are 5 episodes.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Much That's more, you know, many more decisions to come up. I love the game. I love this kind of build my own story. And
yes,
you know, I just love it.
It's a great story.
$25, you get all 5 episodes, and they'll come out. I'm not sure what the release schedule is, though. We have to look. Walking Dead.
I was about to ask, did they give a schedule saying, you know, they're going to come out every 2 months, every month, blah, 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 no?
I don't know. It says, Of course, the first episode was April. It doesn't say. I'm looking. I haven't found it yet. So they can't come fast enough, in my opinion, though.
And I think I like Telltale Games as well. They,
remind us again what platforms this is on.
They are. It's actually Mac, Windows, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360. And eventually iOS. It's not on iOS yet.
And PC.
Cool. Yeah.
And PC, of course.
Nice.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those games that you can pick up and leave off and come back, and it really does emotionally drain you though, because they're you're making these decisions on people's lives in there, and people die. You know, you get to know these people and they become your friends, and you have to choose between your friends. And, you know, it's kind of, wow. So, yeah.
It's intense.
It is intense, but it's very good. And they did a great job. The voice acting is just incredible. They really did it. It's not cheesy at all. It is really good voice acting. So, and I think with this kind of game, it has to be that way, because it's that relationship, and you can't build a relationship off a cheesy voice, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like the artwork too.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. It's kind of that, what is it called? The art style, the graphic novel type look.
Yes.
I really like
cell,
that.
Cell shading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yep. So nice. I was hoping that the Telltale forum would actually give me a release schedule, but I have yet. Yeah, they're guessing. People are guessing when the second one. So people are saying there's like a poll. That's so funny. People are thinking June.
Give us more.
Early June. So.
Wow, yeah. June seems far away. Oh no, it's not.
It's been 2 weeks.
I mentioned at the top of the show that I also started playing Terra.
Wow. So why did you start playing MMO? Terra?
I know we had a few, was it last episode? We were talking about how they kind of objectify women in the game.
Yes.
They totally do. It's ridiculous. Yes. But, you know, not that I'm okay with it. I'm not okay with it, but I really like the game. I love the action-based gaming. I'm playing an MMO with my controller. It's totally different, but yet there's so many similarities. Because it is an MMO, I'm really digging it. And Amazon's having a pretty amazing sale. You can get it 50% off the online download this weekend.
I saw that. That was actually really tempting, too. I was like...
$24, $25, ooh. And you get a free month of play. Yeah, I'm really digging it.
I feel kind of
guilty because, I mean, I'm like this high elf, and the graphics of the boobs in this game are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But, you know, it is what it is.
He said boobs.
Well, boobies.
So,
I mean, I remember talking from in Rift, one of our players, Michelle, lives in Europe, and he was talking about the controversy with Terra over there, where they actually had to remove the blood from the game, which seems weird from an MMO point of view. But yeah, they apparently it violated whatever standards they considered acceptable.
Where was and, this at?
This is Europe. The European in version Europe. Of Terra has been modded.
Interesting.
But then they shot right back, and now they're modding the game to put all the female characters in underwear. So there you go. Oh, of we course. Take away our blood. We're just gonna have.
We're just gonna put everybody in.
Yeah, but that's kind of Europe. You know, when I was living over in Europe, you know, you don't see a lot of violent TV commercials and stuff, but you see a lot of
nudity.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, like. It just feels natural, you know, the nudity or the
It is a completely different.
Yeah, it is. There. It is totally.
Violence bad, boobies good. Then you flip it over here, boobies bad, violence good. We're completely the opposite.
Yeah. But yeah, I got a beta for the Secret World, so I'm I think I'm going to just dip my toe into the secret world.
That just came up in Amazon as a recommended game. Well, tell me a little bit more about that.
I don't know anymore.
You don't know?
it's an MMO.
Is it an MMO? Okay.
Yeah, it's an MMO. So I'm next time I will talk about it. And
cool.
Yeah, because I did get a beta invite, and you can get beta invites for it all over the place. So if you guys want to, you know, grab one, they're everywhere. Everyone's giving away beta invites for this. So I'm just kind of curious about it. People have been saying some pretty good things about it. So
is there anything, I mean, like for me, for Terra, it's the action based gameplay, and, you know, you have to be in front, or you can move to the side and avoid a boss. And when you're doing your combat, the bosses and the enemies give a tell. So there'll be like a little, they'll raise their head, or they'll have like just something that you know that they're getting ready to attack. And you can dodge, and you can move, and you can do all kinds of, it's a much more interactive gameplay versus stand there. Turn, you know, as a healer,
I could
turn my, in WoW, I could just turn my back and heal, you know,
yes.
Heal. I don't even have to see you. I can just heal as long as you're in my area. Right. In this, healing is hard because you have to like have line of sight. You have to be positioned properly. Same way with attacking. The different classes, you have archer, you have berserker, you have lancer, mystic, priest, slayer, sorcerer, warrior. And as you're choosing which class you want to be, the game tells you how difficult it's going to be. So berserker is like 5 stars hard.
All right.
Because you have to be, I mean, this is, you have to be in there, you have to be in front. You cannot be off to the side, or you have to take that damage to be the tank. And then priest, I think, was a level, I think it was 3 stars. I think the easiest one was the sorcerer. I think that was a 2-star. But the idea being that it's a much more interactive kind of gameplay, that you just can't click, click. We'll move over here. Click, click. No, it's after an hour of gameplay, I'm like, okay, I'm tired. Okay, I need a break. So I really enjoy the gameplay.
And it's nice
to looking for a different MMO. This is, give it a shot, especially with that Amazon deal going on.
Yeah, it's nice to have an MMO that does things, you know, slightly takes a new spin on things. I think that's where Star Wars kind of fell flat for me. It was basically the WoW formula. Out in space. And of course, I know people are going to be like, but what about this and this and this? And there are tons of different things in it. But I think basically it was, you know, the WoW formula. And it just wasn't different enough for me that I got hooked. So
I would tell you, love partying, for you to try Terra.
Healing in Star Wars was rough.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, even when I had every single point put in the healing tree, I could barely keep my companions alive. When we were finding, well, then again, we were doing 4-mans with just 3, so we were kind of handicapped there.
Yeah, that might be. So I would, I mean, if you ever do have an opportunity to play Terra, I would really be interested in hearing your thoughts as kind of longtime WoW players. I'm having fun with it, and I haven't played an MMO in a long time. I mean, WoW has just kind of been my staple, and I find myself going, come on, Mark, let's go in and let's, you know, play for an hour or so. Even though I'm exhausted, I'm like, let's play a little bit. I'm having fun with this.
Well, I think one of our fans, Strumpet101, she's playing it, and she's had some really good things to say about it as well. So,
you know, I think the Valentines are playing it as well. They said, they tweeted something to me today. They told me the server they're on. So, and apparently, there's free server transfers. So if you start off on one server.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So your friends can, you know, come join you and things like that. Very cool.
All right. So Kim, you've been playing a game I'm interested in hearing about because I have this on my wish list as well. And I'm curious because it just the trailer itself kind of captured me. So Yesterday is the game.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it PC only? I think it is.
I'm not sure. I've got it on PC, and I think it is PC only. But it's a point and click game, which it's, you know, those puzzle type games, and I love these type of games, the point and click games. It's very dark though. This, it seems like it's, you know, you look at the animation and it's kind of cartoony, but wow, this is not a cartoony game. You start out in a subway and, you know, of course you need to figure out the puzzle. You point and click and you hover over items. You pick them up and you combine them to do different things. But this has got a very dark underlining of satanic rituals, yeah, and
killing involving the homeless.
Yeah, yeah. It's very dark. So I don't want anybody to go into this game thinking, oh, you know, it's a fun point and click game. It is fun. I've really enjoyed it. The puzzles so far have been difficult enough to begin with that you really had to think about them, but not too hard that I just gave up. You know, there's that balance that you have to have in these games. The hint system is pretty good. So it's a progressive hint system. So you can push the hint the first time and it gives you kind of a generic hint like, maybe you should look for something to tie something with, you know, so it's kind of a broad one. And then it fills back up over time. And you, the next hint would be something like, maybe that rope would look good around a staircase, you know, so, and you may have two or three staircases around and you need to figure it out from there. But so that's the kind of hint system that I like, is that it gives you progressive hints and it's not a full on, you know, going thing. I've only got through the first chapter of it. So the first, they go, the guy gets, you know,
because he's investigating these murders, right?
Not at the beginning.
Okay.
He's there really as, you know, trying to help out the homeless, but it turns into a murder investigation. And John Yesterday is somebody who doesn't know who he is. So he wants to find out who he is.
Ah, the amnesia story.
Yes, yes. And so I'm on to that point now that I need to find out who John Yesterday is. And so he's flying all over the world. And, but it is, if you like the point and click games, it's really good. I think this would really be a great iPad game. I like the point and clicks on the iPad because it's very easy to use. You know, using the mouse, it just, that tactile feeling isn't there. So it's like, not as much, but it's really good. And, when I first saw this trailer, I was like, I'm interested in that.
It's funny that you say that about the point and click, because that's how I usually feel about all Telltale games. And that's why Walking Dead surprised me that I did not feel that way with that game.
Yeah, but that one, I think it's got a emotional tie rather than that tactile tie.
Yeah.
And you get a different feeling with that game than you do with these other ones, like the Hector games. Did you ever play the Hector games?
I played it on my iPad. I got really frustrated with it when it crashed, and I got really far in it, and it started me from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done with you. I'm done.
I had that bug as well. But, I mean, and that game, that's another Telltale game. And it's really a rude and crude game. That one's a funny, lighthearted murder investigation, but it's really crude. So, you know, if you don't like crudeness, don't play the Hector games.
Yeah.
Because it really is. They're kind of icky. But I played another point-and-click game called The Dream Machine.
I saw this on Steam, on one of the, I think it was on the front page.
So this one is done all with cardboard and clay. That's the whole style of the animation. But it makes the people look really creepy. I can't stand the people, their faces and stuff. They're just, I'm like, I don't like this. And again, it's another really dark game, you know, this, you're going through it and it's just, wow. So every game I played over the last 2 weeks has been like this really dark game, you know. But the Dream Machine.
You're all depressed now.
Yeah. Exactly. The Dream Machine is in episodes as well. And I think there's 5 episodes. And right now, only 1 and 2 are out. So I've played episode 1 and episode 2. And it's the same thing as Walking Dead. You can either pay per episode or just get the whole game for like $20. You know, it's not that much. And those puzzles were a little bit harder, I found, and there's no hint system on it. So, well, there's a hint a little bit, but it's, that one's way more difficult. So, I actually had to go look up how to get past a certain point on that one. But still,
I like it when I have to do that with games.
I know. But you get to that point, you're so frustrated that you're like, I'm either going to stop playing this game.
Right.
Or
YouTube,
I'm going
to. YouTube to the rescue.
Yes. Right. Yes. Thank God.
There's always somebody that's done a walkthrough.
So those people who do the walkthroughs, thank you so much, because couldn't do it without you sometimes.
That's right.
But both of those games, if you like point and click, they're very good point and click games. So I highly recommend them. And they're not that much. They're, you know, I think I got the Dream Machine for $4.99 or like $14 for all 5.
Yesterday is more expensive, and I can't have yet to find that on sale. It's $29.99.
Oh, wow. But it's a full game. So, But it's worth it. I really liked it. And if you like the point and clicks, it's a really good point and click game. Really good.
Cool. Well, let's move on to our iPhone bargain buy type games. We have a couple of games here. Steph, I think these are from you. So, Lost Winds. What is Lost Winds?
Lost Winds. It is a gorgeous game for your iPhone and iPad, and it looks particularly fantastic on the new iPad. But it's a little puzzle game, you know. It's a little tagline is the power of the wind at the tip of your fingertips. And the reason that Lost Winds, the first one, is on sale is because they've just released Lost Winds 2. So gotcha. It's a gorgeous game, and it's a lot of fun. So I would highly recommend it.
What is the first one. Is it like adventure? Is it puzzle?
You're playing this little boy named Toku, and you're out to save his little friend.
It's like a physics game, isn't it? A puzzle physics game, and you're using the wind to move around.
Right, oh, cool. And you're solving puzzles as you go along.
So $1.99 for the original, and $3.99 mm-hmm. for the second one. Cool.
Yes, I have not played the second one yet. But I'm hoping that it's as good as the first one.
Neat. And then, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Yes.
This is free. And by you saying alone in the show notes, plays like Family Feud, I'm there. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm there.
And they make it a little more competitive, though, because when you, so you join the game and you're pitted against like 9 other people. So it's 10 people playing at once.
Are they real people?
They're real people that have created accounts, but it's not real time. It's kind of like, you know, that you can compare their time. Exactly.
Build up your gameplay, and they use it throughout. Okay.
Exactly. So what happens is they'll have different categories, and they pick the categories, and they're weighted differently. They have different values, and they'll show you the question, and you get a bonus, 1,000 points, if you answer first. But then once everyone's answer has been picked, they show you who got it right, who got it wrong, and you move up and down the leaderboard depending on what your score is. And you only get to the next level if you finish first. So it's a little bit
more competitive, huh?
That's right. Rather than just you against one other person, it's you against like 9 other people. So, but yeah, it plays just like Family Feud. So
I have a lot of fun. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with Family Feud. I still have a few friends that keep posting my Facebook page. Play Family. I'm like, I'm done with Family Feud. Right. I've moved on.
Exactly.
All right. So let's get this show moving, and we're going to jump down to our internet buzz. Stephanie, Borderlands 2 is going to have 3 pre-order versions, including a new class called the... how do you pronounce it?
Necromancer.
Necromancer. That's a fun word.
Necromancer.
So unbelievably cute. Have you seen the? We can post the link to it. But if you go to Amazon's website and you look at and you look up the game Borderlands 2, it'll show you the 3 different versions that are available for pre-order. There's the traditional version, there's the deluxe version, and then there's the ultimate edition.
My gosh, $150 for ultimate? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, right, but look at what you get.
Did you see what you get?
Yes, you get a replica chest. I want one of those chests. I mean, I saw this and I'm like, I don't know. I don't really care about this. But then I saw the chest and I'm like, wow.
So is there loot inside too?
There's things inside, like the Ultimate and the Deluxe both have bobbleheads dolls, which are just adorable, and they have stickers and books on the artwork and whatnot. Anyone who pre-orders also becomes part of the what they call the Premier Club, and those people get access to in-game perks, including this class called the Necromancer. So Yeah, I know, because I want access to that. She looks so cool. She looks like if you took that character from a Tank Girl. And you put her in the game. That's what she looks like, you know, pigtails, sporting the gun, and just from her name, it makes me sound like she can summon mechanical allies.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I think that would just be so much fun. And Borderlands 2,
and you get a bobblehead.
Yes,
everyone loves bobbleheads. Seriously, I want that loot chest. I want that.
I don't see. You know. What's missing? Claptrap. Where's Claptrap?
I thought that too.
He would be awesome.
But they're selling Claptrap as a an action figure, so I bet you they didn't want to take away from the action figure thing. So you can get Claptrap as a as an action figure, and I want a Claptrap. I think you can order that now.
I wanted to make that noise too. as he's dancing.
Oh, I missed that game.
Me too. I may have to go and just play this game.
That's when it releases. September.
Yes, it hasn't got pushed. It hasn't got pushed like BioShock.
That's right.
Well, we are running out of time, but I felt that I had to bring up, we haven't talked about the whole girl gamer blah, blah, blah in a long, long time. And I came across a post on Reddit. There's actually a group called Girl Gamers on Reddit. I've joined them. I love it. I've signed up my Facebook. I get little posts every once in a while on Facebook, and this one caught my eye. There was a blog post, and it's satire, of course, and I'm going to paraphrase because I know we have some young listeners, and it was basically saying male gamers are unsure why bees don't like video game culture. And it's very snarky, and that's what they're responding to. And there was the one poster, what's her name? Al Kukaja, who had a really good response. And I just had to, I had to read it because I was reading this going, wow, this is really well said of just girl gamers in general and kind of the stereotypes and, you know, being women and gamers come across this stuff, you know, and it can be annoying. I tend to put it out of my mind, and every once in a while, you know, it'll show up about every 6 months or so, and you kind of rehash it again. But I wanted to read this because I just thought it was just well written. So she had wrote it on another thread talking about this, and I'll put this in the show notes. So she says, growing up, I had no female role models in video games because female protagonists didn't exist except as princesses to be saved or as other party members. Everything I played growing up was from a male character's point of view. Granted, things have gotten better as I've gotten older. Many girl characters are still placed into stereotypical boxes that they've always been put in. And in parentheses, and that's some people use in real life. I still feel that I won't be taken seriously in the gaming community if people know I'm a girl. People will still assume, if not told otherwise, that I'm a guy. And no, that's not okay. You should never assume the gender of one of the other person because gender isn't relevant. And when it is relevant, it's usually stated or obvious because it's relevant. Women are still sexualized in the media and video games, and while my boyfriend pointed out that the male barbarian is just as shirtless as the female is only in a bra top, it doesn't change the fact that even if it's not always the case, I still feel 9 times out of 10. Whoops, sorry.
See, he agrees with you.
My thoughts are upset about that too. Still feels like 9 times out of 10, the girl is a sex object and the guy is not. That is not fair. And it's not fair that this is reality, that this reality is true outside of gaming as well. I have to stop assuming that every guy is judging me because I'm a girl, and you have to stop assuming that it's okay to flirt or catcall with me just because I'm a girl. Do you really think it's flattering to tell a girl she's providing frap material because she's not, she mentions she's not wearing a bra? It's in reference, that quote was in reference to a picture kind of showing a real girl gamer. As well as intentions you may be, it comes off as creepy. I want to be a girl gamer because I'm a girl and I'm a gamer. And that should be okay. You shouldn't bat an eye or even care. But I shouldn't have to pretend to be a guy or aim for general neutrality either. I'm a girl, but I need you to respect me as a person. I just really like that. It kind of cuts to, like, I get it. I'm a girl and I am a gamer and it is what it is. And I don't know. We overthink this a lot, and you always see these posts and then you get the debates and I don't know. What do you guys think? Because I tend to forget about this at times.
Well, I think as just a gamer, I totally agree. It doesn't matter if I'm a guy or a girl. It doesn't matter. I think girls, women in the gaming industry is a completely different thing. And I don't want people to compare the two, because I really think that, women in the gaming industry can bring a different skill set and a different way of looking at things from, men in the gaming world, the gaming business. But as just girl gamers, I'm just a gamer, just like anybody's just a gamer. I don't see how that if I'm a woman or a man, that should really matter to other people.
Yeah.
You know?
And I guess, you know, and Stephanie, before we were pre-show, you had given me a link or told me about a website that I had no idea existed.
Yeah, and it's horrible.
It's horrible. And until I saw that site, I was like thinking, oh, I think we're, evolving as women in, being female gamers. But when I see stuff like that, and there have been people that have sent emails to the show, it quickly reminds me that, again, it's the internet. but that's not a reason. You should not. I really want us as a society to get to a place where how you talk to me on the internet is how you talk to me in real life.
Right.
And that if you talk to me this way on the internet, it would have the same ramifications for if you were to do that to me in real life. So when I see things like this website, what was it called again?
Fatuglyandslutty.com.
So
and, we're gonna warn you that what you go see there will be extremely adult and vulgar language. But what it is screenshots of messages that girl gamers have received from other players, and it's the worst
stuff so you can possibly imagine.
And some of the categories, I was reading the kitchen or cooking 101, because, you know, it's so easy to say, go make me a sandwich, or get back in the kitchen, or stuff
that's,
like
that's
that.
That's the cleanest stuff that's on there.
I know.
Make me a sandwich. But,
But I mean, I like the control that this woman took by making this blog and saying, okay, you're going to talk to me like that. I'm going to put your comment up and your gamer tag on this
and
website.
And your gamer tag, yeah. And the overwhelming majority is from Xbox Live. So that's just another tick on why I won't ever go back to that service. Because PS3 is not immune, but I have far fewer bad experiences on there. So
yeah, Xbox, listen.
Hello.
We would play your stupid online games if there was just some. I don't know. I don't know if it's if it's because Xbox won't have ramifications for that kind of talk or interaction. I just don't know.
Right. If this is what you're considering protected
feels
free
broken.
Speech, then I'll just play offline. Thank you. But, I mean, the girl gamer issue has always been a double-edged sword, right? Because we are the minority. We accept that. We, you know, the gaming industry is overwhelmingly populated with guys. We're making advances, but that's cool. But the double-edged sword is, how do you be a strong girl without coming off as a bitch? It's almost nearly impossible. So
what happens in
you're either
business,
quiet...
Right?
And don't talk. Or if you do talk, they accept it as an invitation to start the porn talk. Mm. And it shouldn't exist, but it does exist. So I know for most of us, unless I know the person, I'm keeping my mouth shut and I'm not going to talk. Because I don't need to tell you that I'm a girl. You obviously hear that if I do talk. And I should just play like any other gamer. But there's also the other side that is not helping us, that do think it's funny to flirt with guys and then don't understand why they get the reactions that they do. Oh, I was just being funny. Yeah, well, that's not really helping us, because that really is an open invitation for just the worst comments ever to come out. Because when you're anonymous, that you can say just the worst stuff ever, and they will. They absolutely will. That website is pure example of what guys say when they think there's no ramifications.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
It's just disappointing, because I know there was another post that I was reading on Reddit, and it was a woman. She was actually going on a rant about how the quote-unquote fake girl gamers out there. And I don't even like that. I don't even like that attitude.
Right.
It's like, we should be supporting one another. And I know what she's upset about, what she was trying to say was kind of what you're saying, Steph.
Right.
It's like, you know, don't use the fact that you're a woman to kind of, I don't know, take advantage or...
Use this kind of
mystical unicorns.
Right, exactly.
Which is not the case.
When girls are the minority and they show up, it's almost like you said, the mystical unicorn has shown up, and all of a sudden guys have two ways of three ways, really. They can ignore you, they can fawn over you, or they can start insulting you. That's pretty much the three reactions that I've seen. We were talking earlier about the oatmeal.com, which is one of my favorite video. He's a web comics, but he happened to make a comic about the difference between guy gamers and girl gamers online, that when he makes a mistake, his team just bitches him out. But when a girl gamer makes a mistake, she kind of tees it off and everyone goes, oh my God, aren't you so amazing? And he got a lot of flack for that. To his credit, he said, well, look, that's just from my perspective. This is what I've seen. I've seen that when girls make mistakes, they teehee it off and they get off scot-free. And then he heard from a bunch of girl gamers, you know, said, you know, I apologize, I didn't mean to offend, I'm just saying what I see. And then he actually went ahead and donated $1,000 to a women's charity, which I think is very
awesome.
Cool.
That's
yeah, I think I think it's cool that he not only accepted that, you know, this is what I see, which is really the only basis we all have, is exactly. This is my experience. And then when people said, look, that's really not what we experience, he said, okay, cool, I get it now. So, you know, when someone explains that, you know, what you think is not all necessarily the reality, then if you can change your opinion, that's awesome. But most people are just very hesitant to change their opinion. They think.
Well, and I think that we're lucky in the fact that we belong to the AIE community, and yes. that the whole community is really based upon mutual respect of each other. So I think we've got kind of spoiled. And when I go outside of that community, you know, there's not always.
Yeah, you forget. I know I do.
Yeah, sometimes I, you know, it's like no big deal. People are great. And in fact, for me, most of the time when I'm playing an online game, people are really cool. It's just that every once in a while, and it depends on the game too. There's a difference between people who are playing Dungeon Defenders and it's a public game, and people who are playing Call of Duty or some FPS. It's a different mindset too. Yeah. And when I make a mistake in Dungeon Defenders, people are like more forgiving usually. When I make a mistake in Call of Duty, people are yelling at me. So I think, it depends on what you're playing, who, you know, and kind of the situation as well, when people really start getting nasty.
And I think as a female gamer, especially if you're a young female gamer, and you're not necessarily, or if you, you know, if there's a parent listening and they're like, oh, I have a daughter and she's into gaming, how do I let her get into this online world? You have to kind of evaluate, like you're saying, Kim, you have to evaluate the game, the culture. You have to be really involved and knowing, like for me, I wouldn't put myself into certain situations. Like I don't do Xbox because I just don't want that stress. I don't want to do it. And that's really bad for Xbox because they are, because of the culture that has been created in that, you know, there are some girl gamers that definitely are into Xbox, and they're in the trenches, and bless them.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for
working us an idea.
I just don't want to, you know, a lot of times I don't have enough time to deal with that. Right. I just want to play the game, you know, I just want to play and have fun and do my thing. So. Not deal with other people's crap.
Exactly. I still do Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, which is, I think I'm seriously addicted to it at this point. But I've brought up before the point that the reason I love it is because 99% of the time, no one speaks. Like, no one is talking. No one is yelling at you. No, it's quiet. You just play the game. Everything is cool. I recently had an experience where I got booted out of the preload where they picked the team. Not because of my gender, because they looked at my name and the guy actually just hit his mic and said, this guy's Chinese. Boop! And kicked me out. I was like, what?
Oh my gosh.
I was stunned. Seriously stunned. I was like,
my goodness.
Wow, that is crazy.
There's prejudices all around. I mean, they didn't know I was a girl, but they looked at my name and said, Chinese, where do I have that? And so there you go.
We've talked about this before, but I just really thought that was a good post. And there's a lot of great conversations happening over in that Girl Gamers on Reddit. And, you know, go check them out. It's reddit.com/r/girlgamers. So there you go. Cool. All right. So let's get into email. I think my little man is calling for me. So we'll go through this. So Kim or Steph, do you want to? I don't think we can read the entire thing, but.
Kim, this was addressed to you, though, right? Or no?
Yeah, I guess it kind of was because we were talking about the Blizzard customer service.
Support. Ah, yeah.
I'll kind of go through it real quick. Dear Ladies Elite, I think you should preface that with an out-of-game. The in-game customer service has gone to poop. Player name reports on RP services are mostly ignored, hoping the new right-click report feature will take care of that. And 95% of tickets opened in game are answered with form letters that don't fit the problem. And he lists two cases here. One is about DEing some gloves and not getting a response back to that specific thing. And the other one was a looking for raid game, where a healer kept coming in saying she was a healer or he was a healer, and it was a DPS, and it never got solved. And then he says, the one thing that annoys me, offline tickets tell you to click to reopen button if it's not resolved. You don't get those with the form letters. They tell you to hit reply in game if it's not resolved. You don't always get the surveys. So I can see that. And since you three found it so adorable, I've included two pictures. First is a screenie of me in my transmog T4 PvP gear that his fiance loved so much when they first met. And then a picture of them when they met for the first time. Oh, that's so sweet. And they're getting married. So congratulations. That is awesome. Yeah. And that's from Scythius.
I think so.
I hope I'm not just trashing your name totally. But thank you for that. I think I found that as well, that when you get a real person on the line, it's much better. And I remember the days when you would put in a ticket and you would get that game master
game master appearing in game. That does not happen anymore.
Exactly. So I think they've changed their model in game, and yeah, I can totally see his point on this. When you call the customer service and get through to them, because sometimes it takes a while to get through to them, they're very, very helpful. When you actually get to talk to a game master in game, they're very helpful. But I think that's a very rare occasion now that you actually get to talk to somebody in game.
Extraordinarily
rare. Yeah. So I feel your pain. And yeah, I can see this problem exactly.
Yeah. Well, we also got another email from Chris. He likes to write in a lot, and we love these emails.
Yay, Chris!
So, one of the questions he had was he loved the talk on The Walking Dead, and he beat it within 2 hours. I won't say he cried, but he said he teared up over the game, and it was a very emotional game. It's a good kind of like
deep
involved game. The choice of the loan added with the amount of limited time to choose. That's the other thing I forgot to. There were times where I would be doing something and I didn't realize there was prompts. I'm like, which one? and a lot of times I just click the first one and I'm like, oh, what did I say?
Yes.
My wife screamed several times in it while I played. Good game. I can't seem to find out when the next chapter is coming out. Do you? No one knows.
We just got done talking about that.
Join the lottery with us. I'm hoping end of May. I really hope it comes out soon. I don't think I've ever anticipated or looked forward to a game as much as this one in a while.
Send them cookies. Update the release. We have cookies.
and Chris, just to answer your question, we've been part of Frog Pants for, gosh, how long has it been? Quite a while now.
Almost since the beginning. So, it was, we were what, within our first 10 episodes, I think.
I think it was 2010 was when we joined Frog Pants Studio. And I'm not sure if you know the backstory. So Frog Pants is a network of podcasts with Scott Johnson. And I do a podcast with Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway called The Final Score. And then we all are part of the AIE Guild, which is part of Frog Pants as well. So it we're all kind of intertwined together, and that's why we're part of it. So we love it. There's a ton of shows. If you've only listened to Lazy Lee and you're like, what is Frog Pants? Go to frogpants.com. Check out. There's
Coverville, Sword and Laser,
FilmSack, Movielicious, which I'm part of.
Yes. Which is awesome. We love them. Love that.
But still keep listening to us.
Yeah.
It's time for us.
So, yeah.
And we're going to be at Nerdtacular, which is kind of a nerdgasm of Frog Pants.
Frog Pants
Everything. Yes. Yes.
That's in June. June 23rd, I think it is.
You should tell them to put on a t-shirt. Frog Pants Palooza.
It's Frog Pants Palooza. I think there are a few tickets still left, but if there's only a handful, if there still are, I think it might have.
I saw Scott was giving away tickets on Twitter, too, yeah?
Oh, well, there you go. Follow Scott at Scott Johnson on Twitter. Might be able to get free tickets.
That's right.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait. Steph, you're not going to be there, are you?
No, I don't think so.
He's dead.
It's a bummer.
But Kim will. Kim's going to be there. I'm going to be there.
Kim will be there.
I am flying all the way from Australia. And I get there on, I think I get there on Thursday. And the event's on Saturday. So hopefully I'll have enough time to actually get over looking like crap after a 24-hour right. plane flight.
It's just the worst.
Oh, oh gosh.
But it will be streaming. So yes. GnomeWise over at versus the World Productions is going to be streaming it. So even if you can't go check it out on the day, it'll be on a Saturday. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So nice. There you go. All right. So I think we're at the end of the show. If you want to get a hold of us, Stephanie, how can they get a hold of us?
What are we playing next?
Oh, we'll do that at the end of the show.
Okay. Well, if you want to get a hold of us, there's the website, ladiesofleet.com. There's the email, ladiesofleet@gmail.com. There's the call-in number, 623-252-4263. And each of us has a Twitter account. Nicole is Nicole Spag. Kim is Just Kim Molly, JustKimolly. And myself is XIAXIAN1, also known as the Chinese name.
I also, if you go to ladiesofleet.com, you'll notice over in the right-hand column, there is the ability to leave a voicemail directly on the website. Ralph did this, but he didn't have his mic turned up, and it was very faint. It was quiet. Ralph, I couldn't hear you. So,
do it again.
So, yeah, that's a fun little service by, I think it's a company called VoicePipe. Nice. But yeah, I thought I'd add that, make it easy if you want to contact us. So in a couple weeks, we are going to be playing some other games, including, I don't know, I'm up for Max Payne 3. I don't know if you guys are.
I am totally up for Max Payne 3. I'm actually excited about this game, and it comes out at the end of the month. I think May 31st.
There you go.
29th. I think
maybe,
but it's definitely
end of the month.
Awesome. So, well, then we have our game next show, Max Payne 3. Right. Awesome. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Do you think Max Payne will get a girlfriend this time? He's still broken up over his family. That's so sad.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.